it's time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
So this week we had a lot to talk about, and we start off by talking about the budget, which was announced last week, which had a lot of funding put towards things such as Māori development, I'm pretty sure mental health, tertiary education and benefits. And ACT have called this budget the La La budget, and she'll go into that in our little chat. We also talk about a new fund that ACT has proposed to help boost teachers and reward excellence among teachers when it comes to how they perform and how they teach, which would be a $250 million annual fund. And Brooke also goes into how this would work. And then lastly, we finish off by talking about Palestine and what is happening over there and sort of where ACT's opinions lie as they oppose the motion that was put forward by the Greens Party last week. And so we started off talking about the budget, and I asked what were ACT's thoughts on it.
Well, we think the government is kind of in what's called la-la land, essentially putting its ears over, putting its hands over its ears and pretending like everything is fine. So what we've really seen is we've seen a huge increase in spending. In 2024, the average person will have over $90,000 in debt against their name because of what the government is spending. And a huge proportion of that, $40 billion, is for benefits. When we don't actually see anything else in the budget that's got anything to do with middle New Zealanders and people who are already struggling with the costs of living, but have jobs and income, and there's nothing there for those employers who have been hit with even more holiday pay and sick pay. When we're in a process of a crisis, essentially the underlying assumptions that the government has made are wrong as well. And, you know, they're making these huge predictions and spending costs on the assumption that we're going to have low inflation for a really long time and that unemployment's going to be down for a really long time. Now, if something goes wrong, which it may do, then all of a sudden those costs will blow out incredibly if we have more people unemployed or if we have inflation that rises, because that means that the cost of living will go even higher.
So we've talked in previous weeks about ACT's budget, and you've been critical of this one, but is there anything that ACT considers to be a positive that's come out of this budget?
That's a hard question. There's not too much positive that's come out of this budget, to be honest. It does look like it's spending in the wrong areas. But I'd say another area that I'm quite disappointed by is where it comes to Pharmac. And this is a place that's quite close to my heart. So this is the pharmaceutical budget. And the government put aside $200 million new funding for pharmaceuticals. And on the face of it, that sounds great. But we've heard from Pharmac over the last 2 weeks that they've actually asked for $400 million. So they've only got about half of the money that they said that they needed to fund the drugs that they want to fund for New Zealanders. But here's the real issue. The government has come out and said, this is great, we're giving new money, new funding for pharmaceuticals for people to live better lives. But this is making it a political football. What they should have done is actually included funding and part of the review that they set up at the beginning of the year to actually look into Pharmac. And the issue I have with this is we're not having a real, I guess, wholesome, fulsome look at the pharmaceutical budget. We're just allowing politicians of the day to set the limit without having a really deep look into whether the funding model is right in the first place. And I think that puts families with children with chronic disabilities and illnesses in a really awkward situation of just crossing their fingers every year in the hope that the minister might fund the drug that they need.
Okay, so I wanted to move on to our next topic for this week, which was the proposed $250 million annual fund for Teachers Excellence. So what is the aim of this fund that ACT is wanting to put forward?
Yeah, so we've announced the Teacher Excellence Reward Fund. So this is $250 million every year. So if we break that down, that's around $5,000 being set aside for each teacher. And it's to do with promoting teacher excellence. So this is saying if your school has a set a target for, say, they need improved maths rates, or they say they need better attendance at school. There could be a whole range of different things that that particular school has said, this is our priority for the year. And a teacher could be rewarded for hitting that target or doing a job that goes beyond the average teacher. But so if you look at a school of maybe 20 teachers, that means that school or that principal has $100,000 per year on top of what they would teach, what they would pay their teachers annually, to reward teachers for what they believe has been excellence in teaching.
So, like any workplace, there's going to be internal politics. What would there be to stop teachers who don't necessarily deserve to be compensated because they haven't been as excellent as others from being compensated more?
Oh, well, I just don't see that happening. I mean, I can imagine huge revolt in the staff room. What this allows is for a teacher who is going above and beyond for their students, who other teachers recognise are going above and beyond, and who the principal sees and who those students and parents see going above and beyond, being recognised for their work. And we have to be quite honest here and say, you know, out of the 22 years of teaching that my colleague Chris Bailey has done, he has noticed that there are teachers who sometimes look like they're slacking off a bit, and other ones who just really have that drive to want to go above and beyond and stay later, help with different coursework. There's such a range of different personality and willingness to go above and beyond. And those people should be recognised, because the problem is that we have teachers who are dropping out. And we want to make it an area where people want to stay and they feel rewarded for their efforts. And you'll find that in every other industry in New Zealand.
So at the end of your press release that you put out, you mentioned that such initiatives shouldn't be reserved for wealthy schools. And this fund has been modelled off Auckland Grammar, which is a public school. Does this not instead highlight the fact that we potentially need to think about how we redistribute funding for schools instead?
No, what I see here is that Auckland Grammar is a school that is willing to innovate and try and get the best results for students, but also keep teachers who they want and they recognise are doing exceptional work. So Auckland Grammar has come up with its own system to pay teachers in a rewards fund so that those teachers who are truly exceptional want to stay because they feel rewarded for their work. I think that is a really positive workplace that probably more teachers want to be part of. So allowing one school who's had a great idea and innovated and seen this work in practice be taken nationwide, I think that's the way that we should look at our, public schooling system, rather than just using the tried and true methods, which see people not being rewarded as well for their work. So if you have a teacher who's been there for 20 years who just kind of gets by versus a teacher who's been there for 20 years who is genuinely part of all of the different committees helping students outside of their normal class time, it's quite weird that they get paid exactly the same. So all we're saying as the ACT Party is perhaps we should be rewarding those teachers to make sure that they feel rewarded for their work, but also that they'll want to stay in the profession.
Okay, so lastly today, I wanted to talk about Palestine, and we've seen protests in New Zealand, and it's been all through international media, and we saw the Greens put forward a bill in Parliament. So why didn't ACT support this bill?
Oh, well, I'll give you a bit of background there that it wasn't actually a bill. So what the Greens Party wanted to do was put forward a motion in Parliament, similar to my motion for the Uyghur severe human rights abuses in China. The difference here and why we couldn't support it was because the Greens Party wanted to declare that Palestine was a state. Now, you might say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, it comes off the back of other Greens members of Parliament that previous weekend going out to protests, going out on social media and using a terrorist slogan that essentially wants to call for the end of Jewish people in Israel. So there's no possible way that the ACT Party could support a motion to declare another state off the back of people in that party saying that to do so would eliminate the Jewish people of Israel.
So would ACT support the recognition of Palestine as a state if it wasn't being put forward by the Greens?
I think it's far more complicated than that. So this is completely different to the Uyghur issue, where we have mounting reports of genocide in one area. What we have in Israel and Palestine is an incredibly complicated situation of two different peoples, political systems, having fighting that's been going on for decades. And I think we do need to say that we want a two-state solution. I think that is the right way of going about it. But I don't think the rhetoric that goes around debating these ideas is helpful in any way and could actually lead to a lot of harm in communities that is unnecessary.
Would ACT consider putting forward a motion that would fit under what you guys want to see happen in Palestine?
It's something that potentially we could do, but it's definitely not on my radar at the moment. You know, it's kind of as simple as that. I don't see it potentially being in our future, but it's something that I haven't actually discussed with the caucus.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.